Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks here near Branson, Missouri. We've been talking about how the Lord has led us in our noontime prayer to believe Him, this prayer meeting that streamed every noon all around the world, to shake the place where we prayed. And the place, like they did, like He did in Acts chapter 4, and the place where we pray, He told us. And you can go on the archives and listen to me go into more details how He made these things known to me, that we pray in a place much larger than that room where they prayed in Acts chapter 4. We pray all around the world, and we pray in the heavenlies. And God has led us to pray and to believe Him to shake down the economic disaster dome that the enemy is trying to bring over this nation. I truly, truly believe that America is going to know another great awakening and that we're going to see the glory of the Lord. Now, I told you yesterday that last Sunday, August 14, when I was preparing for our prayer, I kept thinking of that song, our prayer that we have out here at Prayer Mountain every 3 o'clock every Sunday, He Leadeth Me. And I looked in my songbook, which tells the stories of the hymns, and the man who wrote that hymn, He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand, He leadeth me. It came to him on a Sunday when he was preaching a Sunday morning, and he was going to preach a sermon that he had taught several times on the 23rd Psalm. But this day he got stuck on that phrase, He leadeth me. He said it was the darkest days of the Civil War, 1862. And the fact that God leads them, leads him, leads people who are living in those times. When he got back after the sermon and he went back into the room where the ministers gathered, he got the paper that his notes were written on and he penned the words of that song, He Leadeth Me. And of course, it has since become well known in the church and brought lots of comfort. But I got to thinking, 1862, Civil War, this song came out of it. And I began thinking about how the Lord had been already talking to me about the economic disaster and using the power of prayer to shake that thing down. And so I went back to one of my my letters, my prayer letters that I had written to my prayer partners, and I found this that I had written. The Lord caused me to notice a fact in previous awakenings relevant to our times. Two of the greatest awakenings occurred in terrible financial times. In my previous letter, I emphasized the 1857 to 59 awakening. Now think of it, folks. 1862, Civil War. Actually, I think it started in 1860. So just prior to the Civil War, the second great awakening hit America. And that awakening began with a prayer meeting called by Jeremiah Lanpier on September 23, 1857 in New York City, in a church very near where the Twin Towers stood. This awakening is covered in books we've made available to you, Revival Fire by Wesley Duell, pages 125 through 136, and the New York City Noon Prayer Meetings by Talbot Chambers. I'd read these accounts many times. However, while rereading Chambers' account, a few statements he made seemed to leap off the page. Talbot Chambers documented the prayer meeting in its first year at the Old Dutch Church where he was pastor at the time. Now, what had happened in 1857, Jeremiah Lanpier had been hired by the Old Dutch Church to, it had been a beautiful church built in earlier times by colonists. They'd all moved out now and had become really the area where Wall Street is now, and marketing and trading was taking place. But they hired him to be a missionary, go knock on doors, and to this new changing, the people that lived there were changing so, and to invite them to come to the church. Well, he wasn't having any success at all. So he decided just to go to the church on noon hour. He'd been wearing himself out and just pray. And when he did, the power of God came there, and it hit upon him to invite people to this prayer meeting. He announced that it would begin, and the first 30 minutes no one showed, but then he heard people stepping up the stairs, and it wasn't long until he had the room full with people. In a few weeks, this prayer meeting was full out the doors of that church, and it had spread all across New York City. Then it went to Philadelphia, and then it went all to the West Coast, and it was a noontime prayer meeting revival. They call it the New York City Noon Prayer Meetings Revival, or outpouring. It lit the flame for the Great Awakening that came in 1857 through 1859. As Wesley Duell tells in Revival Fire, there was so much power and manifested presence of God that even ships at sea, as they approached the coastlines of America, sensed the power of God. They would fall down and give their hearts to God. They would wire into the port and say, "Have a minister meet us." For the whole crew and all the people on board would have given their hearts to the Lord. It was an amazing thing. A great part of the United States came to God. And I believe it was in Louisville, Kentucky, that the papers published. They had so many people join every church that they said that it must be the millennium. But now, at the church that it began, the New York City Noon Prayer Meeting, and we can send you this book by Talbot Chambers that he wrote at the time, he said this: "The general interruption of business in consequence of the financial disasters of the season gave to many an opportunity of regularly attending the meeting, of which a more prosperous season would perhaps have deprived them. It can scarcely be doubted that the main cause of the general popularity of the meeting was the gracious purpose of the Lord, making use in his adorable sovereignty of this means to alleviate the gloom of temporal calamities and lead the minds of the children of men to higher thoughts than the meat that perisheth. In no other way can we account for the eagerness with which multitudes of men would flock together at an unusual and most inconvenient hour to attend a religious service." As I read that, I thought, financial disasters, the gloom of temporal calamities, what were they? I thought as I read. So I went to the computer and typed in financial disaster 1857. 10 pages of options popped up on my search. At various sites, I found items entitled Panics on Wall Street, Panic of 1857, 1857, A Year to Forget. Here is a sampling of some of the things they reported. The discovery of gold in California in 1848 affected the economic development of the nation. Everything seemed prosperous. In the early months of 1857, the nation had every appearance of extraordinary prosperity. Then came an unexpected slacking of pace. Credit had again been stretched too far. Supposedly strong banks failed, and immediate demands were made upon the financial resources of New York. Several of the failures had been due to embezzlement and stock gambling. Railroads failed. 5,000 American businesses failed within a year. Unemployment. Eventually, the panic and depression spread to Europe, South America, and the Far East. End of his quote. End of the things I read. When the financial panic reached the Far East, they named it the Western Blizzard. This could have been because in January 1857, the Northeast United States experienced what is considered to be one of the worst snowstorms ever. A factor in the financial fall was the wreck of the steamship, the Central America. On 44 previous voyages, the ship successfully carried gold from California to the banks of New York. But on September 12, 1857, it was sunk off North Carolina by a hurricane, taking 425 lives and tons of gold. When the news reached New York City, people made a run on the banks, forcing banks to close. One source said, quote, "When news of the lost gold reached New York bankers, the panic of 1857 sparked a recession which set the stage for the Civil War. Severe weather, financial disaster, credit stretched, embezzlement. Sounds familiar, I thought. And then I thought, I think I'll look at the financial conditions during the first Great Awakening out of which the USA was born. There I discovered that the colonists went to war with the biggest superpower of the day with no money. Well, that's not exactly right. They realized they needed money, and with no power to raise taxes, they printed some. They printed continental dollars, which soon had no value. From this comes our saying that something is, quote, not worth a continental. The Revolutionary War effort and the values expressed in the Declaration of Independence would have come to naught had it not been that God saved things primarily through one Jewish patriot. Washington's armies were not properly fed, clothed, or armed. Continental leaders were not paid, and soon after its birth, the fledgling country faced bankruptcy. Through the efforts of Haim Solomon, the country was born and eventually saved from financial ruin. In 1975, celebrating the bicentennial of our nation, the Postal Department published a stamp in his honor. It was printed on both sides. On it were his picture and these words: Financial hero, businessman and broker Haim Solomon was responsible for raising most of the money due to finance the American Revolution, and later to save the new nation from collapse. This amazing story is well told in the book that you can get from us, Forgotten Patriot, The Story of Haim Solomon. After discovering that two great awakenings occurred in times of financial disaster, I said, hey, we qualify. And that is exactly what we are expecting the Lord to do for us now. He gave us the challenge of praying in an awakening. We qualify. God has done it before. He has preserved us a nation, and He will preserve us again. Our best days are ahead of us. Join us as we pray at noon. Join us as we pray against those financial downfalls and disasters that the enemy would try to push us ahead of time. We are holding back that Antichrist according to 2 Thessalonians until the Lord comes. Now, if you want any of those books that we've mentioned today, the New York City Noon Prayer Meetings by Talbert W. Chambers, or if you would like Revival Fires by Wesley Duell, then please contact us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or go online to billybrim.org. Remember, my name is spelled BILLYEBRIM.ORG. And then we would love to have you pray with us at noon. Tomorrow I'm going to talk to you about the prayer assignment that God gave us to pray in leaders for an awakening in America and around the world. Thank you so much. It's been a joy to be with you today, and I thank you for tuning in. If you didn't get Monday's broadcast and on after that, go on the archives. Shalom, shalom. Until tomorrow.